and we're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Thanks again to my previous guests, Deputy Fire Chief Ryan Alms and Deputy Fire Marshal Ryan Courtright from the Manhattan Fire Department. Now over the phone with me, I'm speaking with National Wildlife Federation Senior Agriculture Program Manager Ryan Stockwell. Ryan, can you hear me?
Sure can, Nick.
Great. And how's your morning going? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, it's great so far, and appreciate you having me on your show.
Of course. And so you're the Senior Agriculture Program Manager at the National Wildlife Federation. Could you tell me a little bit about your background there with the Federation?
Yeah, absolutely. So with National Wildlife Federation, so we work on advancing agricultural practices that make sense for farmers as well as wildlife. And it turns out there are a number of practices that can accomplish profitability for farmers as well as make benefit for wildlife and their habitat.
And we're going to be talking a little bit about the 2018 Farm Bill, which was sort of given like a soft deadline of passing by September 30th, which did not happen, or maybe it was October 1st, that's a deadline. And this isn't exactly the first time that's happened. There's been numerous times the Farm Bill didn't pass by the date it was supposed to. But could you give me a little bit of background on the Farm Bill itself? I can just preemptively mention that it provides things like crop insurance and some conservation programs are under it, as well as food stamps, basically.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. There are a number of different components to the Farm Bill, and as you mentioned, it expired on Sunday. And so what that generally means is that for a number of these programs, their authorization or their funding essentially runs out. Now, for the bigger programs, the ones, like you mentioned, the food stamps and crop insurance, those are safe for now, so they continue to operate. But one of the core areas that has a significant impact is actually conservation and a number of conservation programs. So opportunities for farmers to join these programs are severely limited right now. So if farmers are looking at signing up a new conservation reserve program contract, so where USDA will pay farmers to put some land and set aside for a while, they're not able to sign up for those new contracts. And the same can be said for the Conservation Stewardship Program, which, again, assists farmers in implementing good practices on working land. And those are two important programs that benefit wildlife, can help farmers achieve long-term plans for implementing better practices on their farm, as well as provide a number of benefits for wildlife. And I, for one, I personally farm in Wisconsin, so I farm corn, soybeans, and small grain. And these programs are helpful. They're helpful to me in terms of getting the assistance and the guidance to implement some really helpful practices such as no-till and cover crops.
And I know you mentioned that there were some you were talking a little bit about some of the effects that this could have on these programs. What are some of the effects we could see maybe on a local level as well as a widespread level without these conservation programs?
Yeah, you know, probably won't see impacts right away, but what this current expiration means for farmers in Kansas is that if they're looking to sign up or renew a contract right now for either the CRP or the Conservation Reserve Program or the Conservation Stewardship Program, they're not able to do that. Now, hopefully, we get a farm bill within the next few months, and there won't be any long-term consequences. But if this continues for an extended period of time, farmers in central Kansas and other parts of Kansas not being able to sign up for these programs could have a significant impact to their bottom line over the next few years. And so we'll start seeing those consequences hit throughout 2019 and 2020. And as we all know, that has a significant ramification for a number of rural communities in terms of the economic driver that farming is for so many communities. And if we're not meeting our bottom line because we're not able to sign up for these programs, the ripple effects will begin, and I think we'll start seeing that in 2019.
And there's also certain other aspects environmentally that could be impacted by these conservation programs not being in place. Are there any potential impacts on soil health? that might come from not having any these conservation programs through the Farm Bill in, funded, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. For a lot of farmers, you know, soil health is something that we're rediscovering, and we're realizing that you know, we may have forgotten about soil and just how dependent we are upon soil for our livelihood and for our productivity. And so we're realizing that we need to do a lot of we need to implement a lot of practices to maintain that soil health, which will then provide so much for us in terms of long-term productivity, reducing our vulnerability to some severe weather, be it excess moisture or drought or excess heat. Our crops are able to survive better and produce better despite those challenges. And so, again, these programs, especially the Conservation Stewardship Program, that's an important program that and gives us a tool to implement a number of these practices, if it's rotational grazing or adding cover crops or diversifying the crop rotation and going to no-till. All of those practices have tremendous benefits for soil health. And again, without these programs, we lose a tool to help get us to where we need to be.
And could you touch a little deeper on cover crops? I understand that there's a little bit of a discrepancy between the House and the Senate bill, a version of the bill regarding cover crops.
Yeah, absolutely. So cover crops are really that new practice that we've essentially rediscovered once again. But we're finding, as farmers and researchers are also confirming this across the United States and in Kansas as well, that cover crops can have a significant benefit in terms of soil health, building soil organic matter, improving percolation, improving that porosity of the soil that is so important for having good root structure and good health in those plants. And the unfortunate thing is that there currently is an issue right now when it comes to the crop insurance program. And crop insurance is obviously something that we all rely on. It's an important tool for managing risk. But again, within the crop insurance program, they have specific rules on how we can and cannot use cover crops. Now, cover cropping is the only agronomic practice that has these specific rules within the crop insurance program. And unfortunately, what that means is that even though we as farmers are learning new things over time, and even though researchers are realizing and verifying some of these new lessons on how to use cover crops, the rules continue to stay in place. And so it becomes a bit of a barrier for a lot of farmers to implement cover crops. And what we saw in the House version and the Senate version of the Farm Bill was some attempt to try to address that and solve that. The Senate version of the Farm Bill, the one that they passed through their chamber, included language or included a provision that would correct that and would allow would call on the Department of Agriculture to basically treat cover crops like they treat any other agronomic practice when it comes to the crop insurance program. That would seem to make sense. That's the fair thing to do. That's the common sense thing to do. And that's what makes sense for farmers and for soil. And so on so many components, in so many ways, that really makes sense, is to just move the way that crop insurance treats cover crops over to how they treat every other agronomic practice, such as fertilization rates, plant population, planting dates, and so forth.
Brilliant.